Welcome everybody into WNKY Weather Weekly episode 70, the big 7-0.
We made it. Another milestone.
It is. It feels like a big one, although it's just 70. I don't know. It's not super special, but anyways, another, what's the 10 number for when you're talking about like episodes like this? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't say decades, but years.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't know. Anyway. One of those. You know what we're
Yeah. we are recording this a day later than we normally do. We are recording this on March 5th, which is a Thursday, and this will be valid as soon as our friends at Forever Communications post it. So could be later today, probably more so, I would guess, Friday. So it will just call it valid from the 6th until the 12th of March.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've obviously had a lot of stuff going on. We have I've been very tongue-tied today, clearly.
Go on, man.
a jam-packed episode for you.
There we go.
we get to talk about this now. First of all, let's get our names out there, I guess, before I go into story time. I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey.
So this morning, when I was recording my cut-ins, I was trying to say, so I guess I also need to include that we do provide weather for our sister station in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
They've been getting hit with a lot of rain, and we have a car wash forecast that I record for them. And I was trying to say something along the lines of, like, Mother Nature will be washing the cars again today, something like that. And my brain was on washing. My mouth was trying to say Mother Nature. I don't know. It was very hilarious, whatever came out of my mouth. And I was struggling kind of like that, where I just, like, kept trying to say it, but it just wasn't English coming out. Just words weren't coming out properly. And I have to say that it was the loudest that I have, the loudest and hardest I have ever heard our master control guy, Joe, laugh at me.
That is saying something, yeah. He's a pretty soft-spoken guy.
Yeah. And I know that it was very funny, and I should have told him to keep that and then just record with a different name on the other file, and then I would just tell whoever clips it to, like, make sure they grab the other name, so that way I could have that blooper.
Yeah, could you imagine that the wrong file?
Right. just 10 seconds of me trying to say Mother Nature and washing, and it not coming out properly. So anyways, I don't know, we might have another one of those episodes of mine later today throughout this podcast.
Fair warning.
Yeah, it's just, look, it feels like a Friday to me too.
It does.
But it's
I've
Thursday.
Been thrown off all week long.
Yeah.
And, yeah, not disappointed that it's Thursday, but I just,
yeah,
all day I've been waking up like, oh, you know, like, I'll get home tonight, Friday night, I'll be, you know, like,
right.
I'm like, nope, I got to show up to work tomorrow.
I know.
We'll have some issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to pull a double tomorrow.
No,
you
no,
come in.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm tongue-tied like this, but if that continues into tomorrow, it would be a whole mess by the 5 and 6.
I will, just to kind of preface what we'll be talking about today, but this severe event from Monday night, I think that's where my thing kicked off of being confused what day, because it went into the morning of Tuesday, so that was the 3rd. So in my mind, I'm like, it's March 2nd, and then I look down at the computer when I'm checking the time for, you know, when the storms are coming in, and it was like 1:30, and I'm like, oh, now it's the 3rd. So then when I came back for my normal shift Tuesday, I was like, the 3rd? I thought we already did this. So it was like, I think from that moment on, I've been shifted a day.
Oh, that makes sense.
I've been a day off, so it's just...
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I was surprised you stayed all the way till 2 a.m. I mean, not surprised, because obviously you wait out the storm.
Yeah.
But I was surprised the storm kind of lasted that long, and you texted me, and
we had hoped
it was like
that
right
it was
going to
be one of those
up.
That sped up as it went on.
Yeah.
It was.
It did not.
It didn't slow down, but it was just kind of
as
advertised, I guess, through the models. They kind of had it through about 3-4 in the morning.
And, mm-hmm.
But yeah, there were a couple times when I texted you the first time. Of course, right as I send it, I'm like, oh, well, now this storm looks like it's trying to strengthen, and maybe I'll have to stay a little bit longer. So I stayed a little bit longer, and what a night. I get myself tired again thinking about it.
I know.
So,
and see, I thought, it was funny because we were talking about that, too, before the event. I was like, oh, you know, if you need to, you can call me. I can come in a little bit earlier, come in. I normally come in about like 3:45, 4-ish, and I was like, you know, I wake up at 2 a.m. though, so I was like, if I need to, I can be in there earlier. and relieve you, I imagine, about 2 or 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Probably 2 a.m. ideally in a situation like that, but then I was like, no, I don't think it'll go that long, and you were saying the same thing,
yeah,
and then
I had my hopes,
and least. Then it happened, but yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that storm and our severe weather. And then, of course, we had those strong tornadoes that went through Nashville.
Yeah.
We could touch on that a little bit as well. Before we get into that, well, also daylight saving time, that is coming up, so I'll have some facts on that closer towards the end of the show. And we had a weather question, which will also be at the end of the show. But if you want to submit any questions, you can do that to us at weather@wnky.com. Or also on our social media pages, you can reach out and we will touch on those questions in our next podcast.
Yeah.
Before we get into all of that, though, we mentioned last week a preliminary recap of winter and February, and I think we covered February pretty well. Not much changed in those last couple days. But as far as winter, we had the third warmest winter on record in Bowling Green.
Yeah, which is something I wasn't real, obviously it was warm, but
yeah,
one of those things, again, that kind of snuck up on you.
Yeah.
I think because kind of the cooler finish to winter, we were kind of back to, oh, well, this is what it's normally like.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really thinking anything out of the ordinary, so.
Yeah, me either. So that one did kind of surprise me as well, but like you said, we did have some warm days, and we set a couple daily high temperature records. As far as how warm we were, the average temperature that we saw throughout, this would be November, December, and January, because we're talking about meteorological winter here.
Yeah.
The average temperature of those 3 months was 43.3 degrees, and that's when they take the average of the highs and the lows, and average all the averages of the averages.
Yeah.
It's a big average.
Yeah.
but that is a departure of normal of 5.3 degrees above normal. So when you're talking about averages of averages, that's a lot. And I did not actually think that we would be that much above normal.
Wow.
So that was kind of surprising. As far as precipitation, we saw a total of 16.34 inches, which was just shy of 4 inches above normal, which I don't think that it's any surprise that we were above normal for precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very wet winter, but not in the form of snow. We only saw 2.3 inches of snowfall, which was 5.3 inches below normal.
And I know that we had this kind of off camera, off audio, I don't know what you call it for a podcast, discussion of the snow, because even after we had the conversation, I went back and looked at the almanac day by day, and still, the only measurable ones that were reported added up to 1.5. And I know that we had that conversation, too. I did see on the monthly outlook, on the now data portion of the Almanac site, and it had where the first day was the 0.7, and it went to 0.8 for the next day. For that 0.8 day, they adjusted that to 1.6.
Oh, really?
So I'm not sure if, because part of me is like, that's close to 1.5. I'm wondering if something went wrong and they added both those together again in that day.
Oh, okay.
As like the storm total, but accidentally put it on that day. Because after that, there was only a trace of snow, and that doesn't add to the total. And then we finished kind of mild for the rest of February. So there weren't any other snow events outside of that. We had a burst of sleet, but that wouldn't have added another inch or so. And there was nothing on the total for that day either. So I don't know. Because the individual days still show what we have in our records of 1.5, and then, I don't know. So that's a little confusing. I'm not sure.
I could see something like that happening, though, because if you did add those together, then that was about that 1.5. So maybe that is what happened with that. But either way, not a lot of snow.
Yeah. Even with that 2.3, it's still well below average. So.
Yeah.
The winter that wasn't.
Right, basically.
Pretty much.
And then I think it's kind of funny that as soon as we hit meteorological spring, we really felt like spring.
Yeah, it's like Mother Nature's like following rules now or something.
Yeah, and also it's very fitting that we had severe weather during Severe Weather Awareness Week.
We were joking the last couple weeks about how I've seen years past flip-flop where you have severe weather during Winter Weather Awareness Week and vice versa. And Not this year. It
no.
Was, like you said, down to the minute.
Yeah.
Because even the day before, the last, on leap day, it was kind of chilly. It was, I think, 40s for highs. And then Sunday, March 1st, it was like mid to upper 60s. Like, oh, it's spring now. Well, what? Like it's
yeah. And
it's crazy. Yeah.
It is crazy. And it kind of seems like we've been staying in this pattern into the near future. Not giving away too much of your forecast there, but...
I want you to stay tuned.
Right. Of course, we'll have that at the way end of our podcast episode here. But, yeah, speaking of the severe weather, we did have, as we mentioned, it was kind of an overnight event, which is one of the more dangerous events that you can have. Before we bring it locally, just a brief mention of Nashville. That was actually officially rated as an EF4 tornado that went through there. And I don't know what the death toll is up to now. Last time I checked, I think it was at like 23 or 26.
I did see a report of 25 yesterday.
Okay.
The only official, the latest confirmed I've seen was 24.
Okay.
But I know there was also a lot going around on social media that they were, a lot of people that were missing, missing. So
yeah, I think the last I checked, they still had like 33 or something like that were still missing. I guess potentially still, I'm sure they're still combing through some of the wreckage. There's a potential that number could go up a little bit more. It's just one of those very unfortunate events that it was a tornado that hit a major city in the middle of the night. So it's hard to sometimes wake up to alerts or even to have your alerts on in the middle of the night. And I think also, I mean, we knew that we would have potentially some severe storms, but I don't think that we really expected it initially to blow up as much as it did across Kentucky and Tennessee.
And it was kind of somebody, I can't remember who posted it. Someone, it might have been either someone here or someone with local ties, but they were kind of overviewing after the fact of the event. And it was, it wasn't low as in no instability, but it was, I think, more sheer than instability. But they were giving an example of, kind of to your point, where it didn't really, hard to expect this to blow up like it did, because their point was, you have days in this environment that happen like what happened Monday night. We've also had a lot of days with that setup where things kind of bust and you don't, so it's, that's the kind of setup where there's not a ton of instability and a little shear where it could go either way, as opposed to, you know, everything's loaded and you're just kind of like waiting for things to blow up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an example that both, it's happened on both sides where nothing's happened with the same exact ingredients.
And that goes with what we always talk about too when we talk about severe weather and tornadoes, is that you just have to have that exact perfect mixture to get something like that to happen. And I think the incredible thing to me about that Nashville tornado was that it went for 50 miles.
Yeah, that was
That's
crazy.
Insane.
And I've been, and it's just like that, it's almost unbelievable. I actually had one of my relatives back in Indiana who was seeing the reports the next morning who messaged me saying, is this real? Like, he's saying, I haven't seen it from like a news standpoint yet, but I'm seeing a lot of people share, like, he's like, is it true? It was on the ground for almost an hour and it was this many people dying. I'm like, I know, hard to believe, but and it was crazy too. So we get one of the Nashville TV stations on our lineup here in Bowling Green. So I had it on in the station. It's News Channel 5, which is a CBS affiliate. And I happened, it was kind of the same time that one of our late warnings went out, which I think was about 10:30. So I went back on Facebook Live to do some coverage and answer some questions. And at the same time, that was when it was going, approaching downtown. So I happened to look up, and they had like a double box setup of the meteorologist and then their sky cam downtown. And the second I looked up, I saw a power flash from downtown. And I was like, trying to say what I'm saying on Facebook Live. And in my head, I'm like, that's a power flash. That's a tornado. And that's downtown. Like, all it was like starting to process. Like, oh, man, like this is, again, it's one of those that isn't Doppler radar indicated. It's, A, it was confirmed when the warning was issued, but also it's, hey, we got video, like, this is live, there's a tornado, like, just, everything about it was just unbelievable.
And that's crazy to see it on the sky cams, too, because sometimes that can be hard to pick up, and I don't know, I also, I mean, it looks like none of the high-rises were hit, but in a situation like that, it was pretty close to the heart of downtown, where they have, close enough anyways, where they have all those high-rises, and I saw a lot of videos of people just hanging out in their apartments that are like 20 stories up, and I'm like, what do you do in that
situation? I don't know if you've seen the video of the guy in the crane.
Yeah, I saw
like
that.
Oh my gosh, like,
yeah,
that's, the cranes can be toppled over with, you know, 50, 60 mile an hour winds, and he's at the top of this, because he mentioned that the guy who shared it in his post, he said that this is, which I don't know if he's working and didn't have access to, maybe, because his reasoning was that he only had 2 minutes of notice. When the warning was issued well before then, I think they had about 10 to 15 minutes of lead time. So I don't know if he was in the middle of a project and couldn't get access or whatever it was. He said he only had a couple minutes, but he also said it takes 15 minutes to, like, shut it down, get out, and climb all the way down to the ground.
Really?
So I guess even with the most notice, it would have been a close call. So he just kind of, he's like, I don't want to be caught outside climbing down. I really don't want to be up here yet, so you just kind of like hunkered down in the crane, which was, I think he said, like 200 feet above the ground, I think. So, but he had the video, and it was, you see the power flashes like across the way from him, and it's like, he was okay because he obviously posted it, but too close for me.
Right.
And too high for me.
I don't know what I would have done in that situation if I were him. I don't think that I would want to hang out in that, though.
No. I think I might have risked climbing
down. I think I would have, too. that is crazy. And unfortunately, a lot of devastation there. And we even locally had our own tornado, not nearly as bad as they had.
No,
but we did have one of those, as we talk about, that can happen sometimes in severe thunderstorms, a brief spin-up tornado, and that's exactly what this was. It lasted only for about 4 minutes.
Yeah, which are typically the types of tornadoes that we're accustomed to, kind of brief spin-ups where they don't last that long. Obviously, no hour 50-mile path like down in middle Tennessee, but still, even for this kind of setup, I think pretty strong. I think most of our tornadoes are usually EF0, EF1. This did begin as an EF1. The first report that we had from the Weather Service when they were doing their survey was an EF1, and then they also posted in the chat that, giving us the indication that it may be upgraded because they found some EF2-type damage as they continued down the survey.
And I think
that's what it ended up being.
One of the things, too, why they had to regrade it, I guess you could say, is because it hit a rural area. And so you can't, it's not like a place like Nashville, you have a lot of buildings, you can easily tell what that destruction is. But a place where it hits a rural area where you just have trees and maybe a barn or two to look at, you can't as easily tell how strong that tornado is.
And I think we might have touched on this in one of our earlier shows, but it's been a long time. So if you're not familiar with the EF rating, the scale, the enhanced Fujita scale, it has a wind level to it based on the estimate wind, but the actual rating, when the surveys are gone, it's done by damage. So, as Chris, you were just saying, in the more rural area, you're going to have less damage. So some instances, it might even skew kind of down the strength of the tornado, because if there's not a lot of damage, then you can't survey it. And there's been some kind of controversy in the past. I know, I think it was 2013, the big tornado in El Reno, which was kind of the mobile Dopplers that some storm chasers had, picked up winds over 300 miles per hour, which would be off the charts EF5.
Yeah.
But it was a big open field in Texas, so the only damage they had rated it as an EF3.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, they're saying it was almost 2.5 miles wide, like the biggest, the widest, the strongest that they've recorded, but because of the process of damage survey, it was way down.
Which is crazy. And, I mean, in a case like that, you know, maybe it did at one point strengthen to an EF5, and then when it hit in contact with something, then at that point it was a little bit weaker, only an EF3 strength. So that's kind of hard to tell, and I know there's been some talk in the research world of trying to figure out a better way to rate these kinds of things for that situation where it is in a big open field. But then I guess an argument to that is, well, if it doesn't really hit anything in a big open field, why does it really matter?
And then with this being, you know, kind of research storm chasers, those aren't going to be on every tornado either.
Right.
So it'd be hard to get the exact, you know, wind speed measurement from every tornado. So, but back here at home again, it was an EF2 tornado touched down. At the timestamp on here says 12:15 a.m. I think the time, because they listed it as 4 minutes long, the first report they gave us was 12:14 to 12:19. So that just might be the estimate there. But again, it was on the ground for 4 minutes. It was had a path length, so it was on the ground for 2.2 miles, fairly wide, 250 yards, so 2.5 football fields wide, pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
We were checking out some of the damage photos before we recorded. Pretty impressive damage where there was structures and trees to be hit by this tornado, too. So the touchdown site was just southeast of Alberton, and I didn't realize how just barely across the county line it lifted. I know they said far northwestern Allen County, and it was like county line a little bit and then lifted. So barely into Allen County, but it does include Allen County. So a lot of damage, again, where there was structures, some houses, there's a lot of trees. There was some insulation that were blown around from the houses. And that kind of takes us to not a weather question, but the question that a lot of people had because of this storm was there was actually no warning of any type on this storm. There was no tornado warning. There was no severe thunderstorm warning. Was that tornado possible? This storm did prompt a warning just a couple minutes later. I think it was about, so it lifted at 12:19. I think the warning for northern Allen and Barron County, because it went right over the Barron River Lake Park area, I think that was about 12:24. So about 5 minutes after it lifted, the Weather Service did issue a severe thunderstorm warning. But I didn't know, someone reached out at the station asking, because they're like, I don't remember being a warning. I was like, no, yeah, there wasn't. And then I started doing some digging of my own on like Twitter and Facebook, and there were several people asking me, you know, like, because one person's example is I live right next to the cow siren, and it wakes me up if it's at night, because it's right outside my door. It never went off. And then there was some blame at the TV media, like us, for not cutting. But we were just talking, too, that if there's no warning, then we don't have a policy to cut in the programming because there's no warning. So for me, personally, I feel like I could have watched it maybe a little closer, but at the same time, we didn't have any warning to go off of to even think that this could be producing a tornado, let alone severe winds. But my best guess, and it's only because I've seen it happen in the past, would be that, you know, radar scans are not perfect. They're every couple minutes. And obviously, severe weather, tornadoes, timing is everything. So what I've seen in the past is just the time it takes to get a return back. So again, about 2 to 3 minutes maybe of a radar, and you're looking at the wind velocity. If there's a signature of a tornado, as we mentioned, a lot of our tornadoes here in Kentucky are brief. So by one scan to the next, it can be gone already off the ground. So if you're thinking every 2 to 3 minutes, the tornado was on the ground for 4 minutes, by the time you'd see it again, because a lot of times they do kind of pulse up and down, so you don't want to issue a tornado warning and then it go away.
Right.
And it's like a wasted tornado warning. And that goes into a whole other conversation about people not trusting the system because, oh, every time there's a tornado warning, nothing ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it, too. So my guess would be that it was like that. I did look at the timestamps, and it was there, not strong to where it indicated on the ground, but at least enough to, in my opinion, maybe. I've seen warnings issued for stuff like that before.
Yeah.
So it could have gone either way. Again, no blame at all for the Weather Service.
No.
To that point, it's by the time you type up a warning with the text, you label the counties that you want and send it out. They have a process to issue warnings.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they do that, my guess was the time it took was the time the tornado was on the ground. So by the time they would get that ready, it's lifted, and it was pretty quick.
And what you mentioned, you went back and you looked at the scans and stuff, and I looked at them too, and it was just, it was only for one scan that it was a clear signature, and then by the next one, it was pretty much gone. So, you know, it's hard also to, like, in that quick instant with these brief spin-up tornadoes, like you said, it takes time to type up, hey, there's a tornado warning for this area, this is what could happen. Like, by the time that you type all that up and you issue it, then, yeah, it's been already lifted. There's no point in issuing the tornado warning if it's kind of already gone. And so, you know, just something very brief like that is kind of hard to catch, and especially when it only shows up on, like, one, maybe two scans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just one of those things that, again, we always mention in severe weather, is it very possible that we could have a brief spin-up tornado that could happen, and that's kind of exactly what happened in this case. And I know originally it was actually listed as a damaging thunderstorm winds that did impact some of these areas, which is what it did start out as, and then it eventually, of course, developed into that brief spin-up tornado. But
and then along with that, too, you know, you might be thinking, okay, well, if the tornado signature wasn't there, why wasn't there a general thunderstorm warning issued for that?
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing where even outside of that, it seems like, at least from what I saw in the storm reports that we were official at least, that was kind of the only area that had wind damage. Everything mm-hmm. else that we saw, which I know you at your place had a lot of hail.
Yeah.
That was up to that point. The only reports we were getting were hail.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like that path of that tornado was really the only damaging winds that we saw. Everything else was either hail or flooding. We had a few flooding reports after that, too. So
yeah.
Even by the time, you know, if that was that brief, even the 4 minutes was the only time of damaging winds, then it would have kind of been the same problem with the severe thunderstorm warning, where the winds would have been mm-hmm. non-severe by the time you would have issued the warning. So it's kind of a weird situation to be
yeah.
in. Again, no blame at all for the Weather Service, because that's a tough thing to do. And like I said, there was nothing on my end that was kind of raising any red flags for me to,
yeah.
oh, should I be, you know, cutting into this or going
right.
Facebook Live at least? But just a weird, weird instance. Mm.
Yeah. It's one of those things that can sometimes happen. Again, luckily nobody was injured in this. It was just a couple of structures that were hit and damaged. But yeah, it is something that, you know, it just kind of goes to show we're not perfect and
yeah.
the equipment is not perfect. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Cody said, the radar scan is only every couple minutes. It's not every second that
yeah.
we're getting information in.
And kind of along with that, one more point about it, one of the complaints that I saw and read was that, you know, not really blaming us, but bringing up a good point where they say, you know, like for preparedness, people, I think this person was saying, people always tell us, you know, have ways to receive the information.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, what do you do if there's no information to be sent? And it's kind of, you know.
That's true.
It could be a conversation starter, maybe for
yeah.
messages, you know, how do we relay this. And I've said on air in the past where we've had damage reports from general storms that, you know, I try as much as I can, if I'm thinking of it, to mention that, you know, a warning is a warning, but we can see damage from storms that aren't severe. Obviously, this is kind of a
mm-hmm.
worst-case scenario. It was more than damage. It was a tornado on the ground, but, you know, maybe I can start getting more into that where, you know, there may not be a warning, may not go off, but just stay
yeah.
kind of aware of keeping up on radar, at least.
I think something, too, I mean, this is harder to do this at night, but I know, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're more awake, say if this happened at, like, 6 o'clock in the evening, then I think you also kind of go off of your intuition. Like, you're like, okay,
right.
things are really dark. We've got lots of lightning, lots of rain. Like, oh, that wind sounds like it's really picking up. And, like, you know, I would say in that scenario, like, you don't have to wait for a warning to go to your safe place. It's always better to be safe
mm-hmm.
than sorry. So, again, this is hard because it's at midnight. I'm sure everybody was in bed by that time and not really paying attention. But, you know, like we say, have the ways to receive alerts and things like
mm-hmm.
that. Ways to wake you up, but if it did happen earlier in the daytime, then in a case like this, I feel like you would also just kind of be able to use your own senses to be like, okay,
yeah.
I know that there's not a warning here, but it sounds pretty bad outside. Maybe I should be a little bit more cautious and heed some of that
mm-hmm.
precaution anyways. But yeah, unfortunately, sometimes this stuff does happen, and this is just one of those cases. Again, when we talk about brief spin-up tornadoes, this is exactly what we mean that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you mentioned, we did have a lot of hail. I think that was the most that everybody
yeah.
saw with all of the hail, and I was very surprised. I think this was actually one of only, like, two times in my life, aside from storm chasing, obviously, when you're trying to go there, that I saw a lot of hail that happened in the area that I was. So it was kind of, it was very exciting for me, obviously, being a meteorologist and previously storm chasing. I was like, this is awesome. Look at all this
yeah.
hail. And it was kind of funny because, well, at first I was a little skeptical to go outside because we had so much lightning in that storm. And then I have a covered porch, so I saw the hail was bouncing onto the porch, and so I was like, well, I'll just crack the door a little bit and look onto the porch and, like, on my welcome mat where
yeah.
I could see the hail just to gauge kind of what size it is, because I really just initially wanted to see what size it was because, you know, it was so warm and everything like that. Hail melts really quickly.
Yeah.
And so by the time that you wait until the storm is over, then a lot of times it's already reduced in size. And so I kind of wanted to see it fresh as it's falling to gauge how big of hail that we were seeing. Do not recommend this, by the way. but anyways, so I opened the door and those winds were very strong and like almost threw the door all the way open. And so I was like, you know, pushing my shoulder into it. And then in the amount of time that I just like stuck my phone out there to get a couple pictures of it or whatever and grab a piece off from that, then like the whole like bottom by my front door was already like flooded with water. So lots of rain, lots of lightning. We had a lot of hail. I was very surprised at my house. I don't even know what happened. I think I was the only one that got this mass amount of hail at my house. And I know like at one point the whole street was covered. It looked like a very light dusting of snow that was on the ground. But at my house particularly, there's a giant pile by my garbage can, and that's actually because my gutters filled up with the hail, and I could see it spewing out of the, like, you know, the runoff goes down into the ground it's supposed to. And so, like, it goes, the way that mine is set up is that it goes down into the ground, and then it goes, like, under my little walkway, and then it pops up, if you see my pictures, but like in front of where I have my garbage can, and there's like a little cover over the top of it, obviously to keep like leaves and stuff like that out of it. Mm-hmm. And so that filled up so quickly, it was spewing out of the top of the, if you look at my pictures also, around, there's like a black tube that's around the hole, because obviously they don't want you to like break your ankle in that little hole that it goes into the ground. And so it was spewing lots of water and hail out of that, which covered into my driveway, and then I just had that buildup of hail that just kept pouring out of the ground, and like then you had more that was falling from the sky. So I had this huge pile of hail in front of my garbage can, and that thing did not melt until, let's see, I actually took a picture, so I'll get a timestamp on it for you here in a second, but I think it was like, it was sometime when I came home later in the evening that it was finally melted, and you know we were warm.
Yeah.
In the overnight hours, we had sunshine that day and things like that, but that entire pile wasn't gone until, let me get the details, 2:30 p.m.
Wow.
That is when it was all finally melted.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it was totally sunny there, but yeah, when I woke up in the morning, I thought it was all going to be gone, and there was still a decent pile that was sitting in front of my garbage can, probably a little bit bigger than a basketball. That's when I left in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And then when I came home on my break, there was still a pile right there, that, yeah, and then it just eventually was gone. So it stayed a while, and I swear I was like the only one that had all of this hail in my house. But yeah, I know I posted on your Facebook Live, I was like, I'm getting buckets of hail.
Yeah.
And then you were just like, oh, she's getting buckets. And then I posted pictures, and you were like, oh, wow.
Yeah, because my reaction was like, I've heard of buckets of rain before.
Right.
I can't imagine what buckets of hail was.
Yeah. I'm just very happy that I have a garage.
Yeah, oh, my
so
gosh.
For me, I was like, let it hail. It doesn't affect me. Yeah. And then, of course, like, the siding on my house, too, is plastic, so that doesn't really matter either.
Yeah.
It's not like it, like, it's wood and it chips away at it. So I was like, go ahead. It was a lot of fun. My neighbor saw me outside when I was collecting. I went out there and I collected a bowl of hail. And he was like, are we going to die? And I was like, nope, I think we're good. And
yeah,
he was like, okay. Then he went back inside, but I was kind of laughing at them because when we had the light show before it started raining, they were just sitting outside, and I was like, this is exactly what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah. we said when thunder roars, go indoors.
Yeah. I'm sure they're like, we're close enough. We're right by the front door.
Yeah.
It was a little too late if the lightning is striking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a very interesting event. It definitely exceeded what I thought was going to happen with it. But, yeah, it was, I don't know. I felt like I was storm chasing in. I was very excited over the hail. I had some mixed feelings though, because obviously you don't want like bad severe weather.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just glad that you were working and I was not.
Yeah. Like you mentioned the hail melting fast. I didn't see any hail at all, because when that one came through, that was like the peak of the event for the evening. So there was warning, you know, multiple warnings kind of down the line. So I couldn't break away to take a step outside, but I could hear the It probably was hail, but yeah. It sounded like rain and our roof.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of the thunder with the lightning, too. That was another part. I know there are several power outages. Even on my way home, I think I left Luff, too. Even at that point, where the first outage reports came in about 10:30, 11:00, so it took a while to get some of that power back on, but all around. Got a little bit of everything, but the flooding, the wind, the hail. And
I'm surprised that I did not have a power outage, but to go back to the hail, I never mentioned it. I had pea-sized hail at my house, and then I had somebody comment on one of my photos, and I think he said that they had almost golf ball-sized hail.
Wow. I know I saw a couple quarter-sized reports.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those. I think quarter was probably the most common. I had mainly pea, but in my bowl of hail that I took in, there were some that were a little bit bigger than that, maybe about dime size at most.
Yeah.
For a couple of larger chunks, but majority of them were pea size. While I'm searching for this also, Nikita, I took her outside after it stopped raining for a little bit. And I had all of this hail, and she was quite confused. So she loves snow, and I think she thought it was snow at first. And then she went to step on it, and she's like, but that doesn't feel like snow.
Uh-oh.
She's like, but it's cold, but it doesn't feel like snow. So she didn't really know what to do with hail. And I took like a handful, and I threw it at her, and then she was happy because she tried to catch it in her mouth. But yeah, so that was an experience for her. That was her first hailstorm as well. I was trying to see if... This guy posted, I was trying to find the area that he said. I don't know if he posted on an individual picture or if it was my actual post. It must have been my actual post. I'm sure I'll find it here in a second. But
yeah, just a crazy, crazy night. And that's what I heard a lot of people saying about the hail. And there was, it looked like the core of that was some of those higher or bigger stones were up kind of north of Bowling Green because they were kind of lines of reports from northern Warren County to southeastern Butler County.
Okay. Yeah, he said they were almost golf ball size in the Trans Park.
Okay, yeah, that would have been so, kind of the northeast-ish side of town. But yeah, that was a... What a night! What a morning at that point, I guess. Yeah, just the... Those are the days that you... appreciate the quiet days. Just like yesterday, I had a full 4 minutes of weather for the 5 and 6 on news. And I don't complain about the time, but I was just thinking, like, though there's not a lot to talk about, but I'll appreciate this after Monday night, because that was when you're running around with your head cut off, it feels like, trying to gather everything and just the duration of it, too. So, much calmer.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
And hopefully we'll stay calm for a while.
I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. It always gets crazy. All right. Well, we did get some pictures, but also just to make a couple notes here. So if it is safe for you to get pictures and you are experiencing severe weather, you can always send those our way through email or really during severe weather coverage. It's always better to send us through social media because we're monitoring that for that kind of thing. And if you want to become a spotter, now is spotter training season.
Right.
We have already had a couple of classes, but if you go on to weather.gov and you click on the Louisville National Weather Service office, so if you just click on the map in central Kentucky, it'll take you there. Also, if you just want to type it in, it's weather.gov/LMK, and that will take you to their page. And then in the top, they have a little tab that you can click that goes to their spotter training class sessions, and that'll list them there for you, and it has the date and time and location and things like that. I don't think that we have one listed for Bowling Green yet, but they had one last year, and I can't imagine they wouldn't have one here this year.
It seems like one of the biggest in the area.
Yeah.
Also kind of a central location for surrounding counties, too. I mentioned the one that I went to in Bowling Green last year had, you know, when I parked in the parking lot, it was a lot of vehicles from, like, Butler County EMS, Hart County EMS. So it draws a lot of people from around surrounding counties, too. So I would be surprised if there's not one added. The next in our viewing area will be at the end of the month. They did add one last week. March 30th will be down over in Metcalf County, which was also last year, too. So there are some repeating locations, so that also gives me an indication that there will likely be one for Bowling Green, but not on the schedule as of now. But that will be Monday night, March 30th from 6 to 8. And much like last year, it is going to be again at the Metcalf County Middle School in Edmonton. So that will be at the end of the month, so you still got some time to add that. But as Christy said, you can take it at any time by taking the online examples and courses and stuff too. You pass the quiz and there you are, a certified storm spotter.
Yeah, and they have on that tab that you go to, which actually if you just want the full link to go to, it's weather.gov/LMK/skywarn, and that will take you directly to their spotter training. Mm-hmm. But they have on these tabs, it'll take you immediately to the training schedule in person, but right next to that tab is the online webinar, and then next to that is the self-guided online modules that you can take. It looks like there are four modules, four different quizzes, and then it says after all of those quizzes are successfully completed, you'll receive a link to register in the spotter database for the NWS Louisville office. So, which I think I might actually do the online one. I'd love to go to an in-person class, but it's kind of hard with our schedules to make it to one of those.
Yeah, and we mentioned before, obviously, the class is scheduled for 2 hours. It's roughly the same, obviously, depending on your pace of going through the examples and how fast of a quiz taker you are going back to school. So roughly an hour and a half to 2 hours would be the time frame. And I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, too, that they've also simplified, at least through Louisville's website, where they've compiled all the videos on YouTube as opposed to making you go through the website and logging into an account and making a profile and things like that through the MetEd course. So the exam is all through their website as well. And the videos, I believe, are connected to their YouTube channel too. So it's a lot simpler than when I first took it when I was in college. So that's always a good thing too, to make it as simple as possible. So, and again, these are open, free to the public. If you're a weather enthusiast, if you just want to serve your community, and I know there's a lot of ham radio operators still out there that do the storm spotting. Obviously, law enforcement, first responders, things like that. Some that have to be certified for the job, too, but and us, too. So broadcasters.
And I just pulled up one of the training modules, the quiz portion of it, and it looks like it's relatively simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions for this first module, but it goes over some cool thing. So just, I know a lot of people ask us, well, what exactly do you learn in this? And we just always give them a generic, like, oh, you learn more about storms and what to spot in them and stuff. Well, I can just briefly go over a couple of these questions here. So one of them is on the EF scale, the Enhanced Fujita scale, the majority of tornadoes in the Ohio Valley are rated blank. You'll learn which product issued by the National Weather Service is your signal to take immediate action. Where do the majority of flood and flash flood deaths occur? So it kind of goes more in detail about some of these. You learn what qualifies as a severe thunderstorm and what does not. And you also, in this first module, it looks like in a typical year, which thunderstorm-related phenomenon causes the most fatalities in the Ohio Valley. So it not only helps you learn more about weather in general, but also specifically for the Ohio Valley, so where you are. And I think that kind of helps give a better understanding as well of, oh, is this something that's common? Is it not? You know, things like that. So,
seems pretty self-explanatory, pretty simplified too. So, if you can, I know we actually had a couple questions over the last week about, you know, I can't make it to these. Is there a way to do this online? Absolutely, yes, there is. The webinar or the, you can do a webinar too, but the actual certification comes to these modules and in the exams too. I don't know how they, if they keep it the same as the MetEd course. I believe MetEd had like either 75% or 80% of a grade to exams to pass.
This one said that you had to have 100% and then they'll give you a password that they'll send to your email and then you type in the passwords and then you get. Okay. So I guess you can take it as many times as you need to get that 100, which I imagine with only 5 questions you'd probably only need to take it twice at most. Because I imagine they would tell you the correct answer, I would hope, anyways.
But
sit there, keep guessing. I'm tempted to take one, like just take all of them, like without looking at the training module, just to see, test myself.
Test your knowledge.
Yeah. but anyways, that's just something that you can also do if you couldn't, again, make it to an in-person class. Yeah. Aside from all of this severe weather talk, It is daylight saving time that is coming up. And I don't know, people seem to like this one. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost a bittersweet one for me, at least. Like, bitter, obviously, you lose that hour of sleep at night. But the sweetness comes from those later sunsets. It's a sign of time, so I believe it would be closer to 7 p.m. which is sunsets now after Sunday.
Which is...
Or beginning of Sunday.
Yeah, which will be nice. I mean, it makes it feel a little bit nicer outside, I think, you know. It just makes the days go by a little bit more pleasant. Feels a little bit nicer out there. Our days are continuing to get longer, and that will be continuing for us. But again, as Cody mentioned, the biggest thing that you'll notice is that hour jump for those sunset times. Yeah, for me, I work the morning shift, so I'm like in bed by then, so it doesn't really matter to me what time the sunset. But yeah, losing that hour of sleep has always not been my favorite. I feel like I'm always just so far behind for like a couple weeks of adjustment.
Yeah.
With that.
And of course you get all these states and communities now that are trying to get rid of it. I mean, for simplicity.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think Maryland is the latest on the docket for that.
Maybe, yeah.
I saw someone post about that not too long ago, like a couple days ago. But anyways, that will be happening Sunday at 2 a.m. So before you go to bed on Saturday, make sure that you do change those clocks forward 1 hour as we spring forward into spring, sort of.
Yeah,
so that will be happening for us then on Sunday. And... to go with that, actually, I think that's pretty much the main topics I had on here. I'm just checking over my list right now.
And, of course, that is also a suggested time to test those smoke detectors, batteries, things like that. You can add your weather radio into that list as well if you have one of those. And it kind of is a wrap-up to Severe Weather Preparedness Week, in a way, if you check your batteries if your weather radio. So, good time to test all that. And, of course, don't forget every clock in the house.
Yes.
I've done that before, getting confused looking at the
stove
clock.
I'm very thankful for cell phones because I always have my cell phone on me, so then I look at that for the right time. But, yeah, I get confused sometimes when I look at my clocks on the oven and the and then I have a manual one that's by my bed. Yeah. And then I have one that's on my wall that I just haven't changed in about a year now because one of the batteries exploded in the back.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I just never, like, because I've been meaning to clean out the acid before I put a new battery in there, and I just haven't gotten around to it. So it's just been, like, 11-something for the past, like, I think it's, like, set at, like, 11:50 or something like that. And it's just been sitting there for the past almost year now, I think. It tells you how much I look at the wall clock. That's a good time to do that. And also, we just mentioned Severe Awareness Week. And I think that our severe weather events have kind of overshadowed that.
Yeah.
Because I know that the National Weather Service, normally every day they post something, and I know they skipped a couple days here and there because of our severe weather that we have had. At least we had some calm periods where we could test our sirens and stuff around here. You know, we tested those on, was it Wednesday, I think?
I think it was Wednesday morning.
That would have been yesterday, yep. So that's what those were. If you heard any of those going off and were surprised, I know that we had a coworker, David actually came in here, and he was freaking out because he saw the EAS on the TV. And he was like, do we have storms? Is this for flooding? Like, what's going on? And I was like, again, somebody didn't pay attention to the weather. Just a test. So it was just a test. You didn't miss anything. Daylight saving time is a great time to test all of those things as well, if you didn't get the chance to earlier in the week. Other than that, we did have a question that kind of sparks a little bit of debate. So I got this question earlier in the week. Where does the sky start?
Yeah, and I never thought about it until...
I never did either.
We got this question, and I never really thought about it,
Yeah, so it came from one of our coworkers, and he said his roommate classifies it as anything higher than a power line.
Yeah, the universal measurement of a power line.
Yeah. another coworker, as part of this discussion, was saying, well, maybe it's when the sky looks blue, but I'm like, well, when you go higher in the atmosphere, it never looks blue to you. It just...
Right.
It's just air around you. Like, you see colors, sure, changing around you. But, you know, like, if you're in an airplane, I'd say you're in the sky. So, I don't know. My answer to this question was, if you're outside, then I would say that you are technically in the sky, which could also be considered the atmosphere, which is also the air. I think they're kind of interchangeable mm-hmm. words in a way. And my logic to this is based on clouds. So clouds are normally formed at least a base level higher yeah. in the sky. But fog is a form of cloud, and that can form all the way on the ground. So I would say anything outside, and that's the air, is technically some portion of the sky.
Yeah. And I can see that too. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, formulate a...
Yeah.
Where does the sky begin?
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you, like, a plane, you're in the sky.
Right. See, originally my answer, before I thought about it a little bit further, was kind of anything above, like, I don't know, maybe 10 feet above you, like,
yeah.
you know, not the surface, I guess. Well, then I thought, well, first I said the surface layer, but then I was like, well, I don't know, I would say maybe the sky is anything that's, like, 10 feet above you, but then I was like, well, clouds, they can form on the ground as fog, that's kind of sky type things, I feel like, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a tough one. It's a thinker.
It is.
It's a good thinking question.
It really is. So let us know
yeah.
what you think about this.
I'm very interested.
Where do you consider the sky starting? You can send those to us on social media or at weather@wnky.com. I also need dog walker photos yet.
Yeah, so add that with it.
Yeah.
Your dog in the sky. Two birds with one stone.
There you go. I can just imagine someone throwing their dog in the
yeah.
air. Wait a second.
I don't okay. recommend it, but you do you at home.
Yeah. yes, that was the question I had. Did you have any questions?
I did not. Like
aside
I said,
from severe weather.
Yeah, I'll get that. I grouped that one with the main severe weather topic. There was one question that was on the Facebook Live coverage that was kind of in the same ballpark, but it was, you know, we're going over, when we first started the coverage, it was for a tornado warning, and then everything shifted to severe thunderstorm warning. So someone was asking in the chat column of where do you go, what, you know, like what's the protocol for a severe thunderstorm warning, like tornado, you get underground, what do I do if there's a severe thunderstorm warning? So I was like, okay, good question. So I just basically said, number one, get inside like you would for a tornado, and
mm-hmm.
I said with a severe thunderstorm, you're worried about winds or maybe and hail. So I said, you definitely want to stay away from your outside windows, maybe walls too, because damaging winds can still damage
mm-hmm.
those walls too. So I said, if you want to, for extra security, if you want to go in your basement, go ahead or get in your tornado safe area. But I was like, just as long as you're inside and kind of away from the outside perimeter of your house, you should be good. So that was kind of a good question, because you don't really think about that. We always, you know, just kind of go over the details of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good question, I thought.
It was good.
And,
yeah.
I think that's
all right. Cool. Well, then I guess it's
that's
forecast.
That's all I am. Yeah.
I guess it's forecast time.
Yeah.
The forecast is looking pretty decent. We did have a, well, we will, but by the time you listen to this, it would have been in the past.
Yeah.
A cold front moving through. Not a lot of moisture associated with this, so not really expecting to see anything in terms of precipitation, but we are going to be getting windy, and we are also going to be getting colder briefly as we head into the day on Friday. So when you're listening to this, you've probably already experienced it. But we're going to be getting windy tonight. That's Thursday night, and staying windy throughout the day on Friday. Friday starting off with those clouds clearing out of here later in the day. Temperatures only in the upper 40s. Then we'll be seeing high pressure taking over control of the Ohio Valley for Saturday. Lots of sunshine in store. Temperatures starting to warm up a little bit into those mid-50s. Then we reach the mid-60s again, right about those mid-60s throughout Sunday and the first half of next week. As we get into your Sunday, we'll be having some of those clouds here and there moving through well ahead of our next approaching system. That'll be bringing us some rain. It looks like starting Monday evening, continuing throughout Monday night and Tuesday morning. And then it looks like we'll have a second wave that will be impacting us throughout the day on Wednesday.
So nothing crazy. That's kind of a theme that has been talking to our friends at Woohoo every day, the radio
yeah.
call. Just nothing crazy, nothing really out of the ordinary for this time of the year.
It's a very spring-like pattern, yeah. I would say. And as far as temperatures are concerned, they will actually be pretty much above mm-hmm. average. The normal high temperature is 56 degrees, and the normal min is 34. And overnight lows, briefly to go over those, they will be dipping down into the upper 20s on Friday night, and then rebounding, they'll be in the about 30 degrees for Saturday night, 45 for Sunday night, and then we stay right about those mid to upper 40s into the lower 50s as we head into the start of next week for overnight lows.
Yeah, so again, all things considered, not bad at all, especially given the active weather this week. So
yeah,
it looks like just plain old rain for early next week. Obviously, we had plenty of rain, but
yeah,
it doesn't look like anything as of now that would warrant any severe risk like this past week. But of course, we'll always watch because that did explode kind of rapidly too.
Yes, it did. And I will also mention, of course, our typical Green River areas that flood. That's also going to be a concern right now. We currently have Green River at Rochester and at Woodbury that is in effect and that is going into this weekend. So right as they recede, again, they could be rising with this rain that we have throughout the beginning of next week. But it depends on exactly how much rain we see too. So
We'll
just wait and see on that. But.
So hopefully there should be enough time to at least go back below flood stage before the rain returns next week. So
yeah,
hopefully not too bad, but of course we'll keep a close watch on it.
Yeah, and I think with that we have concluded.
I think so.
The big 7-0.
What a big 70! Yeah,
it was a very exciting 70.
We had
a lot of information to cover and hopefully answered some of your questions that you have or cleared up anything. Of course, you can always send those to us for like the fifth time, weather@wnky.com. And send us any podcast suggestions or dog photos or anything like that. But otherwise, I think that we are done with episode 70.
Yeah, you can go home now.
Yeah, okay. I can. I can go to bed and maybe not be tongue-tied tomorrow.
Maybe
I made
not.
It through the podcast pretty well.
Yeah.
Except for the beginning. yeah. Well, anyways, I have been meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I've been meteorologist Cody Bailey.
We will talk to you next week. Have a great week.